Obey. Let the record show all members of the board are present, save Chairman Lockwood, who is involved in a family affair out of town, I believe. Minutes. Any corrections, or is there a motion for approval? If not,
I'll move the pre-approved. I read them. I didn't see anything.
Okay. I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. We have members of the audience. Is there anyone who wishes to speak for something other than what's agendized?
Good evening, folks. My name is Nancy Castle. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and I wanted to remind everyone that it's Cruisin' Morro Bay Car Show this weekend. And you've probably seen a bunch of the cars in town. They're really great. They're looking gorgeous. I also wanted to point out that I have lots of bags here that, following Melody Demerit's recommendation that everybody use bags to go to the market with rather than plastic bags, I've been doing that, and it's a really good thing for the water so that the bags don't float all over the place, blow all over the place, and get into the waterfront and cause problems for all of the critters. And so I highly recommend everyone do that. And since I'm up here being shamelessly promoting of things, I would like everyone to come to the Historical Society meeting. Historical Society of Morro Bay is meeting this Sunday night at St. Peter's Church, which is on Driftwood and Shasta. And we're going to have what should be a rollicking evening, because Adele Costa, Inez House, and Grace Paletti are going to share the stage talking about Morro Bay in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And it will be interesting to see if anybody else can get a word in edgewise, because they can talk and they love to tell tales. And I spoke briefly with Adele, and she was talking about the waterfront during the early days when she was a youngster. So it will be a waterfront.
To watch your meetings on TV. And watching your meeting last month, I was saddened and disappointed by your reaction to a request by your city council to come up with 3 actions out of 22 that could enhance our environment and our ecology. 30 plus years ago, people raised cautionary voices about our environment and about the threats that our ecology faced, and they were met with almost the same indifference that most of you expressed at your last meeting to a request to come up with those actions. That saddened and it disappointed me. Because if we had listened 30 years ago to the voices that were raised, I do not believe that our oceans would be as polluted as they are, our waterways would be as polluted as they are, or our fish stocks would be as low as they are. Nobody listened. It wasn't that difficult to come up with 3. The council asked all the commissions to do so, and all the commissions did. It was a fairly simple request. Out of 22, there was at least 3 that affect the Morro Bay area from an environmental and ecological point of view. The pesticides and the chemicals that wash down our streets that go into the harbor and into our bay and into our estuary, that could have been an action that you could have recommended to prevent that. But this indifference by a commission that is in charge of our harbor, our estuary, our waterways, our most important tourist attraction in Morro Bay, could not come up en masse with 3 actions. One of you did, one of you came up with 1, but the rest, again, indifferent. In the future, give it some thought, because it's the future that we need to protect, that we need to act upon today. 30 years from now, I hope somebody doesn't have to come up here and say the same thing I'm saying. And as long as I've got a couple of more seconds, on a happier note, membership in Friends of the Library is being requested. So those of you in, I don't know where the camera is, out there in the television who are watching, keep in mind, please, that Friends of the Library are looking for new members and new support. Our city library is a treasure. and we do need funds.
Action items. Mr. Algert, the assessment of the current harbor services and development of a harbor strategic plan.
Yeah, thank
a continuation.
You. Good evening, board members. We started with this agenda item in March, and many of you remember, I'm sure, that we had some presentation from some outside business folks. At that meeting, you passed a motion and asked the harbor, recommended that the city council write a letter to the state of California expressing some of the concerns that were voiced that night. We reviewed that recommendation at your last meeting and appointed an ad hoc committee at that time to look into the board generating a letter that could be reviewed at this meeting. The ad hoc committee consisted of Mr. Lockwood and Mr. Dowdy and Ms. Davis. The committee met once, I think, at least. And I don't know if any other, at this point, what we've concluded in the packet is what Mr. Lockwood generated, I think, himself, based on the input he got at the meeting that we had approximately 2 weeks ago of the ad hoc committee that were able to participate. And obviously what he has produced here is pretty lengthy. It's about 8 pages for those folks in the audience. It's a lot of different issues. I applaud him for putting a lot of work into this. This is great. But it's going to be a little difficult for us maybe to figure out how to write a letter or to generate, to pare this down into something that needs, in my opinion, ought to be a page or two. So I would ask the board to discuss the idea of referring this back to the ad hoc committee for further refinement, or trying to, as a second option that I can identify, and I'm certainly open to anything that you think can move us forward on this too, or whatever the preference of the board is in this matter. But if you would like to go through this and tonight and try to indicate for me what areas you think are most important in this in the material that you got from Mr. Lockwood, then I could try and generate a letter too as a second option that we could review at your next meeting. And remember, though, if I do it, I'm going to try. Further concerns about losses at the fuel dock. The salmon season is not going well. So this is an urgent issue in my mind. I'm going to have to deal with the bigger picture business things, and I will be working with Mr. DeGarmer on some lease arrangements that I will be proposing to the council prior to his July 1, his next rent being due on July 1. So those kind of things are out there. Now, whether the board feels an urgency in generating this letter, I don't know. That would maybe be best left up to you.
I hope I didn't make that sound like I thought it was not important. It's
no,
really
no.
important.
Yeah.
But to rush it, you know, doing something fast and doing something right are often quite a ways apart. And there's a lot in here.
Yeah,
you know, if we needed to get this done tonight, I'm sure we'd all have some ideas and suggestions on perhaps shortening it, perhaps structuring it differently. But
maybe the best way to answer your question too is that I don't think we're going to solve this problem with this one letter. So it'd be better to get it the way you would want. I would think this. You know, we're in a long-term restructuring cycle here. If we're going to retain fisheries and even some of the harbor infrastructure that we've talked about, I think it's going to take 3 or 5 years of hard work and communicating things like this and asking for some help in some areas. So I think you're, you know, this is a start. I don't feel like it has to get done tonight.
Okay, Jim.
I took a fairly close look at this, and it is too long, and it's 8-page length to treat it as a letter. But I also think that it can be summarized easily, or at least fairly easily.
I think all of the points that were made are points that are important, and I think they can be stated in an abbreviated fashion and condensed in that process without losing any of the essence of what Mr. Lockwood intended when he wrote the letter for us to consider. It can be put, for instance, and I'm not going to go into this in the detail that I've written out for myself, but consequences to the infrastructure of Morro Bay, namely the impact on the sport fishing, fish buying, fuel situation, and of course mentioning in the process the loss in the community to the boat facilities, repair facilities, and that sort of thing. And then it, in a final part, it can incorporate many of the points that Don made in regards to solutions. And I think all of the essence of what he had in the 8 pages can be boiled down and summarized into an effective letter.
Gene?
At our ad hoc meeting, Don virtually brought up everything he has in the letter here, and he's added to it. I guess my review of our waterfront is that there are probably three things that we can do. One is we just forget about commercial fishing. Just let the market take over and forget about Measure D. You know, whatever happens down there, let it happen. That would be one direction. The other way around is to fight tooth and nail for just commercial fishing. Go against the closures of our oceans and things like that. Just do anti-environmental movement. And the other thing I think would be to, the third one would be to find a common ground. Work with, you know, the different agencies, the environmental groups, the NEP, whatever it has to do, and find a sustainable fishery for our area here. I was down watching them unload live fish this evening, and that's probably, you know, it's not large-scale fishing. I don't think we're ever going to see the fishing we saw in the 70s here again. So we're going to have to realize that, and we're going to have to learn to live with that. And it may not be live fishery. It may be small, you know, hook and line fishery. It may be sport fishing. But I think that's what we have to deal with and build on that and bring in some environmental issues. Make this a world-class environmental area here. You know, we're on the vanguard on the west coast of the Pacific Ocean, and we've got a pristine area here living there.
Okay. Ed?
I have some comments about that. First of all, Major D was a vote of the people. We don't just ignore it or change it. So, that's that. That's out of the question. Number two, some of the commercial fishermen and the sport fishermen have already been working with some environmental. They work with the Nature Conservancy over drawing up these maps for this MLPA project, and also the draggers, local trawlers, agreed to give up some ground because the environmentalists wanted to protect certain areas of the ocean bottom from trawl gear. The trawlers did that. There's a difference in reasonable environmental laws and unreasonable environmental laws. There's a difference in what this community does with environment. And one good example is we were asked recently about this Green Cities thing, not to get off the subject, but really most of the stuff in there we already do. And the city's in a budget crunch. The only thing I can think of to help through the show, and I think this is going to be maybe a 2 or 3 year process before things start coming back. We need to get more data on the ocean. There are some oceans, if you read the Pew Charitable Trust's or Foundation's report on the oceans, they'll say 90% of the fish are gone, and that may be in the Mediterranean. It's not here. It's not the way it is here. And I've always been saying we need data. But as far as our local structures are concerned and keeping our infrastructure going, I see no way around it than to lower the rent for some of the people that are involved in the fishing business, both sport and commercial, and the fuel dock. But, again, too, I'd like to pursue eventually another fuel dock in town if things work out, that may be down the line. But not for tonight. But I support most of the stuff that Rick was talking about, that they're going to have to do something to help. And we've had hard times in the fishing business before. This is not the first time. This has just shrunk down to where it's really tough to stay right now. But back in the 80s, there was a lot of boats and a lot of big government loans, and the government started cutting back, and the interest rates went way up, and there was a whole lot of boats that went belly up. They were eventually bought by the people, and they were eventually bought out by the government from the trawlers. The fleet's been reduced by over 50%. I'm talking about overall fleet up and down the coast by over 50% in the last 10 years, just from regulations alone. And the regulations are, the environmentalists are using the precautionary principle, which, you know, they don't know what's there, so you better not fish them because, hey, there might not be enough fish there. Well, it's possible. And there's room for both environmentalists and commercial fishermen and sport fishermen here. I just like being called a damned extractor by some of the environmentalist people. And that's happened, believe me. Not me personally anymore because I don't fish, but the commercial fishermen have been called that. So it's just, you've got to look at both sides of the fence. And you can't be looking through a pale looking glass and saying, well, you can see everything that's right and wrong. The sky is not falling. And we don't have to charge somebody for the sky not falling. So I just want to see that we do all we can to help the businesses stay in business for a while, keep Major D down there, and hang tight, things will change.
Lynn?
I went to the Marine.
You may want to pull the mic down.
That better?
Yeah.
I went to the Marine Interest Group the other day, last week, and again heard some of the controversy and some of the discussion about which studies that the state uses and which studies have been made to verify that we either have fish or do not have fish. And it seems that there are, you know, there's a lot of conflict there. And if you have various studies, why the state can only look at some of them and not the others is confusing to me. I mean, they shouldn't have a vested interest in either one or the other. If their interest is just to protect what we have and to keep it viable. So part of this letter, getting back to the letter that we're talking about, in addition to the points that have been made, I'd like to see that we insert something about finding out what the definitions are. I'm back to definitions. What makes a viable fishery, what would make it available to be reopened to commercial fishing or sport fishing or whatever kind that the commercial fishing particularly. And with that additional, which I don't see in the current letter, with that idea in mind, I'd like to see it postponed and have the committee get together again and go over it and summarize it and get it down to something that is readable.
Manny.
Number one, you guys, I want to apologize for not being able to make that first meeting, and everybody has some really valid points here, and I think that if we get everybody's brief outline, it's totally doable for us to put together a letter, one two-page letter. Before I tell you what my specific recommendations are, I would like to read something to everybody, because I think what it does is it outlines the spirit of ozone layer or global warming. It is also our people and the social climate of our times. To be an environmentalist means to cease being a helpless victim of the problems we didn't create, and become a participant in the transformation of our world. Each of us has the capacity to become an environmentalist, one who cares for the commons, for that which surrounds and protects us. So, keeping that in mind, I would like to read to you just a general summary of what I think is appropriate for this letter. I endorse simply conveying the situation and asking for help, per Rick's suggestions 1 through 4. plus the Commercial Fishermen's Association's proactive suggestions. That combination would and should suffice as a letter to the council. Virtually everything else here is counterproductive. Let's refrain from accusing the state of an anti-fishing conspiracy or harangues against the MLPA and Marine Reserves or engaging in bitter recriminations, that's a hard one to say, and language like new state of environmental extremism, which is in the introduction, is inappropriate. Or slamming the NGOs we propose to work with to reestablish new seafood markets given the parameters of today's allowable catch. These are in quotations. Let's keep in mind as we, in quotations, ask to write letters to anyone involved in these issues from the government on down to inform them of the crisis condition of the coastal-dependent industries in small coastal communities such as ours, end of quotes, that if we come across, when we write these letters and when we ask people to write these letters, as making wild-eyed, angry, fist-shaking claims that we're right and the rest of the world is wrong, not many of those folks are going to want to work with us. I do not endorse a letter that takes that approach. So there's some really specific things we can do. I went into it in generalities. But I do think the introduction, some of the comments that are made there about environmental extremism should be deleted. But when it gets into the issues facing the city of Morro Bay, not just Morro Bay, all of these can be outlined. We need to get into specifics without including all the letters of all these other individuals and the Morro Bay Fishermen's Association. Like I said, also there are two other things that we can add into the proactive things. And two of those are actually in the section that is
typos and things, but I agree that it needs to be greatly shortened. And if there are important enclosures that want to be added on behind it, that would be fine. But the cover letter itself needs to be shortened greatly, in my opinion. And I think that there's general consensus that it'd be better to hold off than try to piecemeal something together here tonight. There's just too much. It's not just fine-tuning a couple of sentences. It's reducing a number of things down to a much more palatable size and structure. So with that in mind, I'm going to suggest that the subcommittee get together one more time before the next meeting. Any problem there? No. And Gene, I sensed a little, you were not suggesting that Measure D should be ignored or thrown out, were you? I didn't. I'm going to give you, before
Thanks.
We move on.
Yeah, you know I didn't. You know I wouldn't.
I'm going to poke at you a little bit.
Okay.
Well, I sensed your frustration, and I don't think that, I don't think that that was the intent.
Question.
Sure.
Rick, did you already forward these letters, like from Burgess and Giovanni's and the Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization, to the council at one time?
No, they have not been forwarded to the city council yet.
I see. Okay.
Listen, my thought was, and this was, I believe, an indication of Don's, that he wanted to attach it to the material to the letter. Now, some of those letters may have gotten to him by other means or by addressees, from the addressees, I'm not sure. I couldn't say to that.
Mandy.
I do have one more comment that I would like to make, and that is that we as a board respectfully listen to one another without making comments, aside comments, etc. That, you know, I think that we're all coming from very different places, and I would like to see some respect here on the board, both now and in the future. Thank you.
Okay, anything else, and we'll move on to the next item. The MLPA. Rick?
So, I guess I'd like, I admit I may have missed something, so I want to make sure that I understood that you're going to give me material, and we'll try to hold an ad hoc, get the ad hoc committee to, since it's Don here, it's a little hard, but unless you set up your own network where you're exchanging information, we're happy to play that role too, where you give us your material, but you want to exchange your material. So maybe I suggest this agreeable, all the board members who have comments, some apparently have written some down. I know Jim, Mandy, if you give us those, we'll reproduce them and make sure the committee gets them all. And anybody who has written material they'd like to give us so that they get all the material. Does that sound okay?
Sure.
Okay, so then we'll call around tomorrow or Monday and try and help set up a meeting, unless you all take care of it yourself, and that's fine too.
I think you ought to wait for Don to get back to town before you schedule.
Yeah, I think
it.
He's only gone for a day or two, is that right?
Yeah. Gene?
Before you close this discussion, how does the board feel about bringing in a consultant? Somebody who's used to environmental concerns and the commercial fishing in our town here?
For what, the infrastructure or the MLPA?
Infrastructure. Well, we haven't closed it yet.
I would think maybe it's a little early to consider that, only from the standpoint that at least I don't know what historically has been investigated so far in terms of some of these things. I know the boat, the potential of a boat yard and another and a dry storage facility and all that has been talked about and looked at. So I think it's a little early to decide on a whether we need a consultant or not, with keeping in mind the idea that once this, the goals as reflected in the letter become clear, then maybe we have some direction to give a consultant and want to consider hiring one at that time.
Mandy?
Another thing that, you know, we might be able to do, and this is something we can do on the web, if we're so inclined, is to take a look at research some of the other coastal communities that have been in similar situations, and I bet some of them have come up with some pretty creative ideas on how to deal with their economic and resource management issues and stuff, and maybe we can bring those to the table in the future.
Well, I will comment on that because we, you know, exchange information with a lot of ports and harbors, and there isn't much good news to be found. You know, there really isn't. And California, and especially California, we don't have any good examples of communities that are transitioning to other uses that I can think of, that I'm aware of. There's one project in Newport, Oregon, as I mentioned, that I think we found that, you know, is a small project that may. Is a potential of working together with some of the environmental groups, and anyway, I'll beat that one. It's hard to find good examples of where we want to go. I might, since I'm kind of, that one died off anyway, I'd like to make a comment too, is that we do constantly have conflict in all, not just here, but a lot of the issues I'm dealing with, and it's odd because we have two sides, and one side seems to believe that we're not doing enough for the environment, and one side sees that, you know, a lot of progress has been made in the environment in 30 years. One side seems to think that fisheries are in poor shape. The other side seems to think that fisheries are in good shape. And I'm not sure we're listening to each other. And unfortunately, we don't have hard evidence at this point to base either of those beliefs, I think, or, you know, to resolve either of those beliefs. Although, so I have wondered myself, you know, this kind of conflict is not good for the community. If we are able to move forward in a way that would be positive to try to find out how we can adjust to these things, we would be best off to try and resolve those conflicts. And I've wondered myself if maybe a consultant or somehow bringing in some kind of unbiased party who could try to resolve those two issues and, you know, get some resolution in the community so we're not constantly arguing over, you know, it's not fair to, but I'll bring Roger. You know, Roger obviously feels like in 30 years things are much worse. You know, gosh, I look at it and I think, so much has been done here in 30 years. I mean, 30 years you couldn't have. 30 years ago, you couldn't have found anybody who would even know what a snowy plover was. and marine mammal populations, all kinds of things, improvements have been made. There's a lot more that can be done. There's no argument there. But anyway, I wonder myself if this really isn't a bigger conflict, and we might work on ways to resolve that, and that might lead us to a more positive way for this community to go forward. Because we've got a big divisive issue here, and it's very, very difficult to resolve otherwise. Thank you for giving us a few minutes.
I think we could all talk on this report, Mr. Algert.
Okay. At your last meeting, you reviewed a recommendation from staff that the Harbor Advisory Board recommend council support package number one in the three packages that the Blue Ribbon Task Force is going to forward to the Fish and Game Commission. You requested additional information. I believe we have provided that. Hopefully we covered all your requests. You see the first attachment is a number of definitions. The second set of attachments is a side-by-side comparison of the three packages. Package one is the package that I worked on, and package 2R was the conservation package, for lack of a better label, and package 3R was the package that was essentially created by staff and the Blue Ribbon Task Force. And I think one of your specific questions at the last meeting was what regulations were involved with the designations that were shown in the maps that we included in the last package. The regulations are shown here, and I might try to draw your attention specifically to Morro Bay, because I know that was one of the biggest concerns. So let's talk about that here. If I can refer you to the side-by-side comparison. You can all find that in the package. And if we go to, I think, the fourth or fifth page, potentially make that the, sixth page. Okay. Just one second.
Atascadero Beach.
I'm trying to.
No, Atascadero Beach.
I'm looking for the Morro Bay Harbor one right here. Just one moment. Okay. I think there's a label at the very bottom. Yeah. I think it's about this. It lists two, and the first one in package one is Morro Bay Harbor State Marine Conservation Area. So that is the package one proposal to designate the whole area, basically prohibiting commercial fishing. So all of Morro Bay Harbor would now prohibit commercial fishing in the harbor. Obviously we're exempting bait receivering and commercial fishing transit activity. Recreational fishing is allowed in that area, with the exception of, now you go in package one, you go to the second one, the Morro Bay South State Marine Recreation Management Area. And this is the designation we were talking about at the last meeting, whether this sort of a state marine recreation area was a new designation. This package one would have no commercial fishing or recreational fishing permitted, and no take of invertebrates. So that would be including no take of clams. So you have to go and look at the maps. That's the southern part of Morro Bay in package one. So that would be package one. For Morro Bay in package two, there was, I believe, three. Both 2R and 3R had very similar proposals for Morro Bay, and they both included three, and they're shown here. Maybe for the audience I should describe them. They also duplicate, I think, the idea that there would be no commercial fishing in the entire harbor, and then they overlay two new marine management areas. One is a marine reserve, excuse me. Okay, so there's one. In package 2R, there's marine recreational management area is very similar, except for they've made a no take except for hunting of waterfowl. And that is, so that is a similar designation in each of the packages for the south area as to package 1. The addition for these two packages for Morro Bay would be the east reserve. Both of these packages have a designation of a reserve on the east side and the portion by south of the State Park Marina and by the road there, Lower State Park Road. And this is a no-take zone. So this would be no-take of any animals, marine life. So hopefully that discussion also gave you an indication on how to find the regulations that are proposed by each of the packages.
Yes.
And what about you know, if a guy goes back to the recreational boat, wants to drop an anchor and start a barbecue up?
And my understanding of the law is that this is a law that's specific to Fish and Game Code. In the instance that the regulations that are being promulgated right now are going to be specific to Fish and Game Code, and that's why they're going through the Fish and Game Commission. Mm-hmm. Now, the law does talk about ecosystem-based management, integration with other areas, integration with other regulatory areas, and especially as I mentioned, something that may be coming down the pike in other ways is these areas of special biological significance and designation of those areas potentially with Water Quality Control Board. At this point, though, it seems to be focused
mostly
on
fishing.
So, you know, I don't see this prohibiting boating, and that doesn't appear to be included in any of these regulations in either of the packages.
Jim.
Rick, I appreciate getting all of this information. It's helping me understand it a little more clearly. And what I'm going to say about it is no reflection on what you've told us so far, but reading over the definitions still leave me confused. I find them obscure and unclear in a lot of ways. But what you just said helps clarify some of it. But for example, in the definition of state marine conservation area, and under the part for restrictions, it says it's unlawful to injure, damage, take, or possess any specified living, geological, or cultural marine resource. And I won't go on to read the rest of it because it's there for everybody to read. But it looks like that these regulations are, on the one hand, very permissive because they leave the decision as to what's going to be restricted up to the entities that are involved for their supervision, whoever they might be. In other words, may be restricted by the designated entity or managing agency. So there's a very broad definition of what can be restricted, and it's a very specific reference to some group that can, at any time it seems, impose further restrictions that are unlimited. The other thing that I didn't find any reference to, but yet noticed it in the document that you provided, was under the package 1 that you just referred to.
Those references came from the science advisory team, and they're not exactly a reference. They're sort of a sideways reference to the regulations, because what they attempted to do was to try and analyze the environmental value of each of these proposed each of the proposed MPAs within the package. And then they tried to set up, and this was a lengthy process, and they tried to set up a classification, whether because a lot of, for example, a lot of the times in package 1, we were trying to minimize, again, fishing impacts and socioeconomic impacts. So we would try to allow fishing and salmon, which we felt, anyway, certain types of fisheries that had no impact on the environment or the bottom, we felt, and yet that would be rated as a by the science advisory team, that would put it in a medium or low category if it allowed other types of fisheries. You'll note, I think, that the reserves are high. I think in all cases I need to go back and look. And basically that's the science advisory team saying this means it has high environmental value rather than high regulatory qualifications or something like that.
So if we go ahead with package one and it creates the biggest part of the harbor out here as an SMCA low, next year they can change that to a high without changing the other designation and restrict fishing then?
No, I think that one was rated, if I understood your question right, that one was rated low because it allows so much take. Fairly limited regulatory scope. It's only prohibiting commercial fishing. So they rated it low environmental value. I think the only way that rating by the science team or the fish and game staff would change is if you change the regulations to make them more restrictive and therefore moved it into a higher environmental category.
But it stays still in SMCA. It doesn't go to a marine reserve or anything. Yes. It just stays in.
That was, I think they're really trying to say, whether it was a SMCA, State Marine Conservation Area, with a low or a high or a medium rating. Mm-hmm. And some then SMRs, and maybe they didn't even rate, let's see, did they rate the SMRs? Or, yeah, they did.
Yeah, they're rated also.
They're rated also in some cases, yeah.
The other thing I'm just curious about, I spent all my occupational career in the science field, and I still don't know what a cultural marine resource might be, since culture refers to things that humans create and build in every reference that I've ever read. I still don't know what a cultural marine...
Any questions or comments for staff?
No, I don't have any questions, and my comment is still this: I am adamantly opposed to us supporting package number one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Having received the definitions, which were very helpful, although the definitions themselves may not always be very helpful. I think that package number one is the only way that I would be willing to vote. And I don't know if we're going to get any more clarity on the entire issue by reading more that's coming from the same source. The definitions are confusing at times, a bit tautological at times. But if we have to vote on something, which it seems that we do, the most liberal package would be the one I would go for, and I would be prepared to do that vote now.
Ed?
I have the same sentiment I did last time, package one.
Gene?
At one time, they were talking about dredging the Back Bay, and I don't see any of that mentioned in there. And I was just curious about aquaculture also, where that falls in there. But I assume that's all be managed but underneath fishing game with permitting and things like that. And I'll support Measure 1.
And I will also, I think that with this sort of thing, the you can always add regulation if necessary, and if Package 1 doesn't prove to be adequate, I don't think they'll have any hesitation to add more regulation. But I'm inclined to agree that once it's there, it's probably going to be there for quite a while, and removing it's going to be a lot more difficult than adding further restrictions. So I'm in favor of package one as well. I'd look for a motion.
I support package one, and I move that the council support package one as presented.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Ms. Davis?
The draft budget has come out. Since when I prepared this agenda item, it was not out, but we received it on Monday. So the material that I did put in here is in the draft budget. That is going to be, I think, the base document. I don't think it's going to change anything between now and May 25th. At least I'd be surprised with the retirement of the finance director if it would change, since he's gone as of this Monday. Again, May 25th is important when we start our budget workshops. As the draft budget does have a balanced general fund at this point, which is certainly good news. the harbor fund, as always, is balanced, because as you all know, but I'd like to review it again too, is that we're a special fund within the city. We receive no revenues from any of the tax funds of the city, which the general fund is generally supported by transient occupancy tax, sales tax, and property taxes are the three main sources, franchise taxes to some extent too. All of those go for citywide services such as police and fire and streets maintenance and things like that, transportation issues. The Harbor Fund is funded solely by revenues generated in the tidelands, primarily at this point lease revenues. So it's property management revenues, which I think we estimated at $1.2 million in this next budget. And there's approximately $400,000 in user fees, so there was a total revenues of approximately $1.6 million. Our expenses always have to balance with that, be slightly less in this case, I think $3,000 or $4,000 less. Of our general budget, almost $800,000 is made up of salaries, and that includes, obviously, our 7.5 permanent employees and all of the taxes and benefits package that has to be paid for all of us. That includes our beach lifeguard program, and that includes all of our reserves, temporary employees for the reserves, and a couple of temporary maintenance type positions too, or at least one temporary maintenance type position. So there's temporary salaries included in all that. The supplies and services categories or what pays, you know, all the normal bills, electricity, we pay off for all the electricity and waterfront, we maintain all the city waterfront facilities. And almost all of those are made up in as we break out the supplies and services account. Proposing that the city council does increase our half-time clerical position to a full-time position in this next year's budget. And I think that I hope that the council does that. We find that we're just have too much work to do, but I won't go into too much of that. But that's a very important thing, and the cost of that is approximately $20,000 a year. So that's also included in the approximate $800,000 in personnel costs that we're proposing. The incremental cost of the additional halftime position is about approximately $20,000 a year. Okay, so back to this. What I have included in your packet is a list of our capital project proposals for this year. After we take care of salaries and we budget all the money that's needed for supplies and services to pay the bills and maintain everything, all our equipment and all the facilities on the waterfront, and then we pay $200,000 in cost allocation to the general fund for general fund provided services to the department. We have $135,000 in debt service on the South T-Bear loan, approximately 20 more years, I think maybe 19 more years on the DBW loan for the reconstruction of the South T-Bear and the slips down at Tidelands Park. And that leaves us with an amount that's available for capital projects. In this case, it was $130,000. And one of the things I would note for you is that we are trying to budget some money this year. We're recommending the council budget some money to start a conceptual design and preliminary feasibility, preliminary engineering project on the boat repair process, on the boat repair project. And our thinking has been that this has always been a high priority for the council and the Harbor Advisory Board. This year, with the property coming to the city, the property finally being the arrangements finally being made with Duke Power and LLS Power to turn over some of the property in the area of the of Coleman Park, we'll at least start looking at the feasibility of using some of that property to create a small boat repair yard. And obviously, this is a seed money to take a look at that. We should have an answer if it's feasible within the next year. But it's a long-term project. Could easily take 5 to 7 years to bring it to a stage where you might actually be able to look at construction funding. The lease site inspection program is something we have been doing every 5 years. It's in our lease management policy. I make a note on the North T-Pier. This is a survey, and we found more bad pilings, which is not to be, that's the way of the world. But it also made us think, and our surveyor, our person who did the survey, think that perhaps we should look at replacing the whole south finger of the North Tee Pier. And it is because a number of the piles, interior piles, or structural piles, need to be replaced at this point. And once you start taking up the deck and spot replacing piles, it gets very expensive, and it might be better to look at replacing that whole finger with a possibly even a steel structure. So what we're going to do over this next year, at least if the council goes along with our discussion on this, is have an engineer take a look at an analysis of that and the cost and benefits of repair versus replacement and what the actual cost might be if we've replaced it in steel. A good note on this is that we did a survey of the South Tee Pier at the same time we looked at the North Tee Pier, and we found that the South Tee Pier is in very good shape. After being reconstructed in steel with special coatings in 1992, it shows very little rust. Excellent. It's in just an excellent condition. I mean, we're going to have to look at deck boards maybe in 10 years. But the understructure is holding up extremely well. It looks like a 50-year pier, and we're not seeing any signs of rust. So there looks to be a lot of value in that kind of steel structure. So that's another reason to think about a different kind of structure. And I just want to make a note on this benches and bike rack thing. That's something that we forego. We were funding that for a number of years at $6,000, and that was just miscellaneous improvements as things came up to do sort of beautifying type things, and it was trash can improvements and things like that. This next year we're proposing, we're hearing a lot of talk by people suggesting that we could improve our signage, and we've sort of known too that our signage is getting pretty worn out in a couple places, and we'd like to come up with a overall signage plan and improve our beach signage and just beautify it, make it more informative, easier to see, add some at the 41 at the foot of 41 at the beach there too. And we would propose to do that in this next budget year. That's the end of my presentation.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Algert?
I don't see on here.
And for slip expansion and float repair?
I thought it said for, the ramps going down the slips and some of the ones like
yes,
at B Street.
Gangways and ramps, yeah.
Yeah, gangways and ramps.
And we still need to do that. As a matter of fact, that money is that's a project that we still have money for.
Okay.
And we were trying to get some electrical, the gangways. Yeah, I'd like to replace the remaining wooden gangways with steel gangways or aluminum gangways, and we're probably going to, the way of the world these days, we're going to need to get an engineer, and I thought at one time we might just be able to buy pre-engineered ones. Well, you can buy them, but I think we're at this point we're going to go ahead and probably hire an engineer and turn it into a project.
I'm sure it has to do with insurance and all. Is that?
Yes, that and a number of other things. Yeah, it's just
nothing is simple anymore.
Nothing is simple anymore, yes.
Any other Gene?
I don't see any money in here for a marine research facility. And I've only been after it for 15, 20 years.
Anyone else? Any other questions on that? Rick, the halftime position, of course, doesn't come out of any general funds. That's all out of the harbor fund. So there's
right.
No, it doesn't have any relation to other city budget crises, correct?
It should have no impact on general fund issues, but, that kind of thing, it'll be difficult because they had a difficult time balancing the general fund, and I don't believe it includes any new positions or increased positions. And at this time, I believe, too, let's just say it's going to be a difficult environment still in the general fund. So, but we, because the variable for us, of course, is the cost allocation amount and how much we transfer to the general fund, which has been holding at $198,000. And it is my opinion that we should probably try to update the cost allocation study here over the next year or two, just to make sure that that we're in the right place and that anyway, it's been 3 or 4 or 5 years, and it would be best to make sure that we have good current information, because there's been some change in services, and...
Harbor Department status report. Is that yours, Sue?
Hey, excuse my little froggy throat tonight. The Back Bay update, I think probably if you've been looking in the Back Bay area, you can probably tell that there are significantly less boats back there than there were a month or so ago. I think it's gone down from about 33 to maybe 10 or so. Of those, probably 4 or 5 are in the city area now. Some others have found some private facilities. Some have been taken to Avila. Some have been totally removed from the water and put in dry storage or in people's yards or whatever they had decided to do in removing them from the bay. There will probably be 4 or 5 that may show no owners coming forth, then those are the ones that will take longer and take a lot more money and time to totally mitigate for. But Fish and Game is moving forward on that, and they're working with the NEP and hoping to have the sheriff's dive team to provide some volunteer assistance in actually helping remove some of the vacated moorings. Now that the boats are gone, there's still some block and gear and tackle, and you don't want to just leave that hanging around because that could be a hazard as well. So they are moving forward with that, and you can definitely see the difference. State Park Marina, Padre and Associates is continuing to work on the draft EIS for that project. They did finally complete the additional sediment sampling they were doing back there to get a better idea of the distribution of the different grain sizes and do some more refined studies on the chemical analysis there. It took a lot of time to get it done due to all the rain we were having and bad conditions, but they did finally get that done. And it is our understanding that now that the rain has finally stopped, State Parks will be repairing the parking lot there, which is something I know that's been an issue. So we did hear that was going
to happen. They have repaired it.
Oh, they did. Well, they did say that they were really hoping after April 25th to get that done. So they did. Good. City Council action. The City Council took action to put the Harbor Walk project out to bid. I think you will recall that there was a lot of controversy over that because Coastal Commission had designated certain areas as environmentally sensitive habitat and was requiring significant amounts of mitigation, which added a lot of cost to the project. And I think the idea of putting on the old cannery site, and that was the Martini Picaric, were the tenants there, and they terminated their lease, and there's a disagreement as to who should be responsible for removing the dock there, which is in pretty bad repair and is causing some problems already with things that are starting to break loose, and it will be a liability. So it does need to be dealt with. The issue is who is going to be responsible and bear the cost of that. So City Council also passed Resolution 1706, which I attach, which is supporting H.R. 4782, introduced by Lois Capps, to permanently prohibit oil and gas leasing off the coast of California. And I did attach that for your reference. And I think that, or I know that Port San Luis also passed a similar resolution. Summer sailing lessons. The Morro Bay Yacht Club is offering summer sailing lessons again. They have both weekend and weekday classes that start at the end of May and run through mid-September. And they are taught by American Sailing Certified instructors. If you're interested in that, you can contact the Yacht Club at 772-3918. You do need to leave a message, as they're all volunteers, and then people will get back to you.
May I add just one little point to that? If anyone's interested in the summer sailing and they call the yacht club, there's a message machine, and extension or box number 4 goes directly to the person in charge of summer sailing. And if you leave your name, address, and a telephone where you can be reached, they'll make contact with you within a day or two.
Should they ask for the Commodore?
No, that's the summer sailing instructor's box.
Right. Don't be put off by the message machine, because it's all volunteers, and somebody will get back to you. Beach lifeguard coverage, just as a reminder, we do not have any beach lifeguard coverage on the city beaches until Memorial Day. We have seasonal lifeguard coverage only, and it's only on the city beach, which goes about to Morrow Creek. On the state beaches, there are no beach lifeguards at all. Our summer coverage is weekend only from Memorial Day through about mid-June when the schools get off, and then it's daily through approximately Labor Day, and then we do keep them on weekends through about mid-September when the school starts again. So there's a reminder to people, we do not have lifeguards on the beach, and you need to be careful. Future agenda items, we'll go into some more detail on the budget. We'll be reviewing the beach.
We've got future agenda items covered unless somebody wants to add something else.
I just wanted to ask Rick a question if he can regarding the sampling that was done in the State Park Marina. Is there anything that you are able to tell us about that now that they completed the sampling from the area back there?
Yeah, we didn't, but Jim was there watching us and he actually helped us out, and I very much appreciate it. No, he was handy, and he was in the right spot at the right time for handling lines. Actually, it was good. It helped things quite a bit. Well, we had a geologist on board, and he observed, you know, that the, pretty much what was expected, that some parts of it are very much very high silt, but a good portion of it is very high sand too. What we need is areas, samples that are shown to be over 70% sand. We're hoping to get approval to put in the nearshore disposal site, and that's so some part of the question is how much, what's going to be the breakdown. If we hope if 60 or 70% of the overall material can go to the nearshore site and the rest of it has to be dried on site until it can be trucked. Right now the only place we've upland we've identified is the landfill, which is an unfortunate, it's not a very preferred environmental alternative to truck it to the landfill, but if that's the only site that we can find, that's where it'll have to go. They will accept it there. So, and that's going to be expensive and involve truck trips and air quality issues and road issues and things like that. It's too bad, but you know, if that's the way it is, that's what we'll do. And we'll, if we can build it into the overall budget. So where we are now is we're proceeding, as soon as we get the sediment results, the real results rather than just observations, and the geologist's observations. We'll send that off to EPA to try and work on the issue of what proportion can go to the nearshore disposal site, and then hopefully complete the EIR, EIS this summer. And we'll think that we're going to start working on some actual conceptual planning on the marina, as I think I discussed with you. If we've got a viable project, we hope here, and we can actually start maybe playing around with some designs on how the marina actually might get rebuilt and slopes and what the actual details of the project are. But it's still 3 or 4 or 5 years away.
Thank you.
Mandy.
I would like to request that possibly maybe even the next meeting or the one after that, if we could get somebody from the NEP Implementation Committee to come and make a presentation about harbor-related projects.
When was the last time Dan came and talked to us about their projects? But it was last year. So, yeah, so that
it's
would be
been,
a good, that's a good
a
thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, we can check and see what their schedule is like.
I have a suggestion along the lines of where I meandered and before, but you know, I think at some point I'd like to try and schedule a presentation from a fish and game, a responsible party of fish and game for fisheries, and to get a presentation from that body on, as best we could, on what the real status of fisheries are, or at least the science from their perspective is too. And it's along the same lines, but that'll be harder to schedule, and we'll keep you posted.
Is there support from the board for both of those suggestions? Okay, fine. Thank you. Then we are adjourned.